But people, this morning there's numerous things that need to be touched upon, and I will try to be as brief as possible on all of them, because we have to make the Athanasian Creed today, as you know. But the main thing and first thing that I wish to bring to your attention is that Thursday of this week is Corpus Christi. And it is a very serious feast day in that it is the acknowledgement of the solemnity of the institution of the sacrament, the most blessed sacrament of the most blessed Eucharist. And as you certainly know, how the blessed Eucharist today is profaned even in the holy places. So it will be up to us if any reparation is made concerning this profanity. So please remember Thursday of this week. Please try to spend some time at all, in reparation and prayer on this great occasion. I wish also to bring to your attention so that you will know that for whatever reasons, and I can't describe them because I myself don't know how to answer these things sometimes, but at any rate, within the last few weeks, it so happened that there was a young order of nuns elsewhere, and they were just getting started, and they were the best of intentions, but they discovered that this was beyond them. So, by whatever act of God, they are with us. Two women, one a middle-aged woman and one a young woman. And they are nuns, and they are have joined us on a permanent basis. They are to be part of our religious community in Kalman. So I beg your special prayers for this, very special prayers for this, because it is I certainly don't want to use the word challenge, but it's beyond that, and we cannot afford to make a mistake. So with your help, I know it will work. When you do come to Kalman, those of you who might have the occasion to in the future, please do not be offended if you see that these sisters will walk right by you. They'll smile and they'll keep on going. They will not stand around and chat, because we are working very, very hard, as you know, to develop a contemplative community of nuns in a most uncontemplative world atmosphere. And until we do return to the seriousness of the prayer of nuns, all of our efforts will be in vain. So let us pray that God will give us this great gift, all of us, this great gift of a community of contemplative nuns. So help me in that regard. And of course, the less said the better elsewhere, for all the obvious reasons. Let us do the Athanasian Creed next in the order of things to do. You can sit or kneel, whichever is comfortable for you. If any of you need extra prayers, Father Francis has got some to be passed around. Whosoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that we hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person in the Father, another in the Son, and another in the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, and the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three uncreated, three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there are three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, not created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after the other. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal, together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary of everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds and man, the substance of his mother, born into the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ. One not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, he sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Today, of course, is the feast of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And it is, may we say, the feast of God. And perhaps it would be safe to say that today is the greatest and the most important feast of the entire year, because everything that has proceeded during the entire year has been because of God. But probably of all the great feasts, this feast has not been given the publicity or the notoriety or whatever it takes to make a feast palatable. This feast has been underestimated throughout. But nevertheless, so we must learn that we must come to a conclusion and an understanding of the seriousness of today's feast. It is God's feast day. And God is above all feast days. And of course, God, because of the redemption of man, had to come and do something about it, because man had lost out. And so he sent his Son to redeem us. And of all things, the best vesture fitting for God was the human body, which he had created. And it was this then that Jesus Christ had come down not only to redeem us, he had a twofold purpose. He had to redeem us and he had to teach us how to save our immortal souls. His redemption by itself was certainly insufficient. And his teaching us by itself was certainly insufficient. So this was a twofold purpose on the part of Christ to teach us. Now we, on the other hand, as time has progressed, we have taken upon ourselves to look at other places and images to imitate in this process of trying to save our immortal souls. We read certain books, we read the lives of the saints, we read what has been said by others before us, around us, and about us. But one thing is clear. When we do this, we may not have the answer that will keep us from becoming confused, because we read various and sundry reports, various and sundry lives of saints, and this, that thing, and the other. Our Lord did not say to us, learn of the saints, did he? What did our Lord say? He said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And in those two words of meekness and humility, if we can get meekness and humility into our craniums, into our hearts, and into our souls, these two virtues all by themselves will take care of all the others. But we insist on continuing to read what saints this did and saint that dad did and saint somebody else did, and we find ourselves imitating them, and all we're giving to God are carbon copies. God does not want a carbon copy of me. He wants me. And we have to understand how to go about doing this. The various saints, we read their lives, and I'm not saying you should stop reading the lives of the saints. I didn't say that. But I am saying that to imitate the saints is not necessarily the best way to go. What they did was good, right, and correct for them. That does not necessarily follow that what they did was good, right, and correct for us. Doesn't make sense. So therefore, let us keep it in the perspective and in the confines that it is supposed, and in the context of our Lord, who said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. He did not say, learn of saint this, or saint that, or saint anybody else. Continue reading, but at least put yourself in the atmosphere that particular saint's life might put you in, but then you have to make the resolution. I have to go about saving my soul the way I know best to do. Saint, whoever you might take into consideration, did not live in the mire that we are obliged to live in. And the question would come up, what would saint, whoever it is, would do under the conditions that we have to live? So the thing that is important is we have to take control of our wills. We have to put our wills down, and we have to study humility, and we have to study meekness. And if you investigate 95 to 100%, 99, I'll just leave a little margin for error. If you investigate 95% of whatever we do, whatever, wherever and however and whenever we do, it is because somehow or other, everything we do is affected by either humility or pride, meekness or anger. Whatever we do. And if we can just bring these two virtues, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Not of mind, but of heart. Until the heart takes control of the mind, forget it. I am meek and humble of heart. Please keep that in mind, because the hour is progressing, and we must conclude with that. So I wish you now, as we start now the great countdown, today is the first Sunday after Pentecost, and we start counting the Sundays before Christmas now. So as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, which we are, let us at least prepare ourselves spiritually, so that when the great feast does come, that we have something really good to offer God. God does not want any of our whatever it is we got in today. I wish to mention, stop spending time reading everything that is shoved into your hands. Stop spending time listening to this multitude of cassette tapes that are passed around from hand to hand, they are being multiplied. No wonder the cassette people are getting rich, because we traditionalists are really making them all rich. Stop spending time looking at video cassettes. The same thing can be said for that. The time that you would spend looking at these various cassettes and reading these various articles, if you'd shove those aside and take that time to say an extra prayer, you want to know something? We would all profit by that. A lot more. We don't need any more information. We're up to here. We're absolutely drowning in information. We don't need it. And what has all this information done for us? Has this information improved world conditions? We have never been lower. Spend time in prayer. Take all these cassettes, put them aside. Stop distributing them. Stop multiplying articles. That now we're digging up articles. We're going past Trent now, because we've worn out everything since Trent. So now we're going back to the Middle Ages. So let's remember where we are, and let's do the best we can with what we got. And the only way to do the best we can is prayer. That's it. Say an extra rosary, the time that it takes you to listen to that cassette. A lot greater good will come from it. Believe me. So, today is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Last Sunday was the Feast of the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Ghost. Pray to the Holy Ghost. Talk to the Holy Ghost. Ask Him to give you the gifts and the fruits that you need, that we need. That's where it is. I've got to say this much before I quit. I have to. Once upon a time, man, in order to outsmart God, that he would not be punished ever again, that he would be above punishment, that is the time of the flood, he started building himself a great monument where he would be safe. What did God do? He came down and he brought in the confusion of what? Tongues. Today, man is still at it. But instead of building a tower to place upon the earth for his safety, he has placed himself above God for his safety. So God came down and paid us another visit. And what has happened? Now we have confusion of thought. And only God, when he sent the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came down, he cured the confusion of tongues, because these men could speak in all languages at the same time. The Holy Ghost alone can come and straighten out our thinking. We are confused thought-wise, all of us. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we'll start doing something about it. And the sooner we can come to grips with that, the sooner can we unconfuse, or at least begin the program of unscrambling the thoughts of our poor, poor, poor children.